Let us listen to the traditional Christmas reading from the Gospel of Luke as it describes the birth of Jesus. Today's sermon will conclude our Advent series, He Who Has Come Will Come by Norman Stolpe, and it's entitled Wait and Sing. So Dwayne will come and read our scripture today.
Morning. This morning, like Pastor Tom said, Luke 2:1-20, but first let's pray. Lord, today of all days, we thank you for sending your Son, our one and only hope for salvation. I just pray that as we read your word and listen to Pastor Tom's message, that you would plant its significance in our hearts that carry with us every day. Just pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there were no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dwayne. Sentimentalism and cynicism are subtle and destructive enemies of the robust and proper celebration of Christ's birth. On the one hand, candlelight music and tenderness of mothers with their babies can obscure the radical implications of the kingdom of God breaking into human history in the coming of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, dismissing the emotional tingles and warmth evoked by the seasonal imagery reduces the coming of Jesus to a bitter tirade and ignores the compassion that Jesus brought when he came. Christians remind secular celebrants that Jesus was born for a purpose. He came to die for human sin, to rise in victory over death. Christmas only makes sense as the start of the journey to Easter and the second coming. The one who is come, who died, is the one who will come again. Those who prefer to be self-righteous and to repentance will always try to isolate Christmas from Easter, and especially from Good Friday. Christians who have grown too comfortable in their present environment may integrate Christmas and Easter, but balk at including the day he will come again. Nevertheless, an honest look at the biblical text associated with Christmas points inescapably to waiting for the day he will come again. The angels told the shepherds that the baby wrapped in cloths was lying in a manger, and he was Christ the Lord. They also told the shepherds of the glory of God and of peace on earth. Part of what must have amazed both the shepherds and the people who brought the news was how different that birth was from their expectations of the coming of the Messiah, and how different that was to their daily experience living in Roman-occupied Judea. Unique among the gospel writers, Luke highlights the echo of the angel's praise with the shouts of Palm Sunday. As the crowds shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." That's Luke 19:38, connecting Jesus' birth with his redemptive passion and his promise to return as King. No way was Christmas the end of the story. Who can fail to tingle when they hear the expectations of of Isaiah 9:2-7, whether it is read or whether it is sung in Handel's Messiah? We crave the light in the darkness of human evil. We yearn for all people to be free from the burdens and oppressions. We long for the day when there will be no more war, when every weapon will be destroyed. We thrill at the prospect that the fumbling uncertainties of every human government will be replaced by someone who is a wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. And with all candor, maybe we're not quite as certain about Mighty God or Everlasting Father. Each Christmas, we are inspired by these words, knowing full well that they do not reflect our present reality. Rather, they represent our deepest thirst for that what can only be when he comes again. Once we are ready to move past Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection to the day of his return, then we are able to celebrate Christmas with authenticity and enthusiasm. When Jesus came at Christmas, God's grace appeared in a desperate, pain-drenched world. We are called to live as God's agents of that promise of healing in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When Christmas becomes the celebration of the coming one who will come, we can sing the new song, "The Lord Reigns." We will not need to refuse to sing because evil persists. We will not sing just unthinkingly, ignoring the wickedness that is all around us. Instead, we sing in hope, confident of that the vicious world will be judged when he comes and judges the world in equity and fairness and rules the world once again in righteousness. Friends, on Christmas Day, we celebrate that he came, but we also celebrate because we know he will come again. Let us pray. Father, sometimes we do view Christmas at the end as an end unto itself, for the stores have been marketing Christmas since September, October, for a long time, and for them, the secular celebrants, this is the end of that long run to a joyous day. But for us, this can't be the end. For the one who was born changed reality, changed the universe, as Jesus came and he died and he rose again. And in that he gave us hope, hope of resurrection, hope of eternal life, a hope that is sure and certain because he went as the first fruits before us. And Lord, because he came and he suffered in a body, we know that the sufferings that are all around us, whether through wars going on right now, whether through cancers or debilitating illnesses, we know that all of them will be redeemed and restored when you come and set all things right. Therefore, we celebrate your birth not as an end, but as a glorious start of the good news that is proclaimed to us, that there is peace, there is joy, because you reign on high. Give us hearts today that are ready and eager and expectant for the day you will come again, rejoicing in your great love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.